To cats and daughters who don't always come when they're called. This is the rather intriguing dedication at the start of my next guest's latest book. Helen Brown knows only too well, though, how cats and daughters can, in their own rebellious way, it seems, be right there when you need them. Helen became an international best-selling author when she wrote Cleo, a memoir of how a kitten helped her, in part, heal and deal with the tragedy of losing a young son hit by a car. Fast forward almost three decades and Helen finds herself facing her own mortality and having to deal with her eldest daughter's decision to devote her life to Buddhism in a war-torn country when Jonah, a feisty Siamese kitten, springs into the story. The book is After Cleo Came Jonah, and Helen joins me now on Life Matters. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
Helen, you believe rather curiously that cats step into people's lives with a purpose. And when Cleo came into your life all those years ago, and she did live for 24 years with you, what did she bring to your family?
Well, she brought a great deal of healing, really. I wasn't expecting anything to happen. In fact, I grew up in rural New Zealand where cats were treated, well, basically as rat catchers. They had no dignity or anything like that. So I think I was pretty prejudiced. And this little kitten came into our lives very soon after our son Sam, who had been run over and killed at the age of 9. And Sam had actually ordered this kitten 3 weeks before he died, and we were all so traumatised. I'd forgotten we'd ever ordered this kitten, and when a friend appeared on the doorstep with this kitten ready to give us, I just wanted to send it back because, you know, another living thing to look after was the last thing I felt capable of.
Mm.
But Sam's younger brother, Rob, who'd seen the accident, clapped eyes on this little kitten and he said, "Oh, Mum, it's Sam's kitten, it's Cleo. Welcome home, Cleo." And, you know, that was the first time I'd seen Rob smile since the accident. He was only 6 and he gathered this little bundle up in his arms, and that was the beginning of how Cleo started to help us.
And over many decades.
Yes, she was like a guardian in the end, just standing over us, watching particularly over Rob. And And sometimes I think she stayed with us for as long as she thought Rob needed her. And Rob had his eye on this young woman for many years. And when she finally agreed to marry him, it was around that time that Cleo moved on to Cat Heaven or whatever it is, wherever it is, Cat. Go to.
Full of sardines, I think, wherever it is. It was a neighbour who said to you, your old cat chooses your new cat for you. And and yet you'd sworn you'd never have another cat, despite the great love for Cleo. But as your mother always says, I gather, it never pays to swear. Curiously, your next cat arrived at another deeply turbulent time, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It did. Sort of when I was halfway through writing the book about Cleo, because I wanted to pay a tribute to this wonderful feline, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, just a normal mammogram, and suddenly it seemed I had quite a large growth, nearly 7 centimetres, and I needed a mastectomy, and, you know, it's quite a shocking thing to happen. After I came out of hospital, my sister Mary flew across from New Zealand to help nurse me. And she went for a walk one day and said, "Oh, you know, the only reason I'm going to tell you this is because you swore you'd never get another cat. But, you know, I'd just been past the pet shop and there's this incredibly cute Siamese kitten in there." And, of course, before I knew it, I was bundled off into the car clutching my stitches. And we took Lydia, my older daughter, who was also causing a few problems at the time for me.
Yes, we'll come to that.
Yes. And we're peering at these gorgeous kittens, and there was this one gorgeous clown of a kitten who was leaping across the cage, and he was using this other little brown kitten as a trampoline, bouncing up in the air, scrambling up the wire, and he climbed right up to my face and put his paw through the wire and stared up at me with these huge blue eyes, and I was cactus.
Yes, well, we'll come back to Jonah the Burmese in just a moment, because this was a cat that practically abseiled through the house and ate rubber bands and God knows what. But you mentioned Lydia, Your eldest daughter, born in 1985, Gen Y, always independent. And I love how you draw a similarity between daughters and cats. I'm not sure how your daughters feel about it.
But my daughters are incredibly generous, actually. Yeah. Lydia read this whole book before I sent it off.
Very generous. So, I mean, she was quite independent right from a toddler, wasn't she? She emphatically refused to call you mum, even.
Yes, and I found that a little disconcerting, but in the end I accepted that. At the age of 5, she decided to become a vegetarian with no encouragement from
five.
Me, I might add.
Yes,
wow. I don't know how. Well, it was when she once asked where meat came from, and that was that. And I had to lie and say, she'd say, "What's in these sausages?" And I'd say, "Oh, vegetables."
Yes, again,
I know, but it was hard work feeding one vegetarian and 3 or 4 carnivores.
I can imagine. Well, she was born into a grieving household, as you describe it, just 2 years after your son Sam's death. But she carried an incredible, and still does, sense of compassion into her teens. She volunteered to support severely disabled people, but it was at 23 that she really, threw a...
Yeah.